Good morning. It is always a privilege to be back in the house of God with His saints, with His people, with our people. Thanks for being here this morning. And yeah, I know that you've been praying for me this week, and I got a few notes this morning. Those of you that were remembering me and my job this morning, the privilege of sharing from God's Word, thank you. Thanks for being part of a body. I'm not going to lie, it's always a bit nerve-wracking to be the one behind the microphone, and it's not without some fear that I stand here this morning. I am excited about sharing from the book of 1 John. This is a book that I've been working my way through, studying on my own, and when it was my chance to share, I felt like it would be appropriate to share from what I've been studying. I realize that this isn't new for most of us that have been attending here the past 2 months. Our Sunday school lessons have been coming from 1 John as well. My text is what you would have studied on October 29th. If you remember back that far, you want to dig out your Sunday school book, it's fine. It won't offend me at all. But we're working on the first chapter and a half of the book of 1 John. And you know, as Danny mentioned, this book is attributed to the same John that we read about in the Gospel of John, the disciple that Jesus loved, the son of Zebedee. He's referred to as John the Evangelist, John of Patmos, the beloved disciple. This is that John. And if anyone had the right to do some writing about Jesus and Jesus' life on this earth, it seems like John had that privilege. I don't know how it is for you. I enjoy hearing about people and celebrities or famous people. It's fun to hear about them, but it's always more interesting if I have a coworker that says, well, I knew this person 30 years ago. We went to high school together. Or 20 years ago, I worked with him on this project. Somehow it makes it feel a bit more, just one step away, a bit more real. So for John to share about the Word that became flesh, it is appropriate. I would like to read, we'll pick up at verse 5. I'd like to read the verses of our text, and then we'll go back through them. So, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through, we'll read through chapter 2, verse 9. So, if you're wanting to open your app or your Bible, go ahead. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to also walk as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him in you. Because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I think we have some beautiful truth and some powerful warnings here in these chapters. And I'd like to work our way down through and unpack some of these as we go. Danny, you made some comments on those first four verses. Thanks for opening it up and getting us started this morning. I want to comment a bit on verse 3. Verse 3, we're just going to work our way down through the chapter. You keep your Bible open as you wish. That which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Danny, you mentioned that if anybody had seen and heard and touched, it was John. And it's true. But the point of his writing here is that you may have fellowship with us. And I'm an English teacher, I get it. But I like to look at prepositions and the objects of the preposition. What's going on here? He is talking about fellowship with the Lord, but he says here that you may have fellowship with us. That's the people. Him. The saints. I have been blessed, touched, often in the last 25 years of being a part of Calvary Chapel with the us factor. Marcus, I don't want to pick on you this morning, but you had something really valuable to share. It just didn't go quite right. Like it was, your technology didn't show up. But I didn't hear grumblings, grouchings, or yelling anywhere around the edge. Maybe somebody was upset, but we're a part of a body, and it's, we know Marcus, like we're a small enough body that we actually all know Marcus. And Marcus has something valuable enough to share that I sensed all of us willing to wait for it. Because it was going to be worthwhile. It's fellowship with us. This is part of who we are. We're Calvary Chapel. We're a ragtag bunch of farmers, and factory workers. But we love each other. So I appreciate that piece of this verse. Fellowship with the Father and with the people here. The point of these chapters in verse 4, we write these things, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Finances don't make us happy. Perfect schedules don't make us happy. I found that peace with God and my fellow man is about the best ingredients I have for building true joy. I was talking with somebody recently about some of my own financial journey and trying to pull some pieces together to make things happen, and he was older than me. He talked for a while about his own journey and how he remembers not having anything and then having a little bit of something, and now he's actually got a fair bit to work with. But he said, you know, Chad, there's nothing like the having to make the wanting show up all that much stronger. See, when I had nothing, we just had nothing. Somebody could steal everything I owned and I was out $20. But when I owned a bit, well, then all of a sudden I wanted a bit more. And I wanted a lot more. These things we write to you that your joy may be full. I find it interesting to note the connection between 1 John chapter 1 and John chapter 1. If you want to flip back to John 1, you can. I'd like to read the first five verses of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. This is John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. Without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Gospel of John goes on to unpack more about who Jesus was, is, and the light that He shares. I just found it interesting to note the connections between those first chapters. They actually sound a lot the same. Bible scholars attribute that, or they mention that in talk about the authenticity of the writing. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Your job, our job, is to work at comprehending that light. All right, hey, back to 1 John, 1 John 1. These are the verses that I read here just a bit ago, verses 5 and following. This is the message that we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Kind of a connection with the Gospel of John. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness flees when light is present. In God is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, this is verse 6, and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, in the bulletin, my title this morning is The Walk. I would love it, I think we'd all love it, if we could get the answer right one time and then not have any more trouble in this life. But I find that it's a walk. It's a journey. It's a daily decision maker. And I notice here in verse 6, it mentions the word walk. Verse 7 talks about the walk. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Lord invites us toward Himself. But we use a lot of figurative language all through the Bible, and I'm sorry. I know that I'm preaching to a church here, and so we know what the metaphors are here. Darkness is sin, right? Darkness is our back to the Lord. Darkness is lying and idolatry. I had a student the other week at school. She was commenting, we were talking about music, and she said, I just don't get Christian music. I said, why is that? Well, some of the melodies are a bit weird, but she also talked about the words. There's just, I don't understand it. And she's not a Christian. She's not from a Christian family. But sometimes I think that we know what we're talking about, and we use our own vernacular inside these four walls. And sometimes it takes a bit of explaining. So keep it in mind as you work with your coworkers, your friends, your non-churched people. Sometimes we have to break it down and explain what's going on. But I think that those of us here have heard the term light and darkness all of our lives. Maybe not. This one is inviting. Verse 7 invites us into God's glorious, transparent honesty. And honesty with each other to the point of embarrassment. To the point of vulnerability. That we may have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have the privilege of forgiveness. But we don't come naturally or originally sinless, right? Verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you go back to the book of John, you don't have to turn there now, but John chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, but Jesus is talking to a group of men that have brought a woman caught in adultery. I think we know the story. They bring her to Jesus and they say, hey, this woman was caught sinning. What you gonna do about it? And it's great. You do that to your manager at work sometimes, don't you? You take a coworker that's doing the wrong thing and say, he was caught doing this. He took more time off than he should. Now what you going to do about it? And you kind of want to see what the... You don't do that. Henry, you've never had somebody come and tell on their coworker. That's good. I know that at my school, we have a lot of teachers that love each other, and sometimes they don't love each other well. But they would be quick to go tell the principal what the other teacher did wrong, or they weren't following the rules that are put out. These men in John chapter 8 came and they told Jesus, this woman was misbehaving. Now what are you going to do about it? And Jesus' statement, so when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And that's not the text for today, but Jesus picked on the reality. You've all got problems. We've all got sins. And the story goes on to say that the men walked away. And it was just the lady there with Jesus. And he told her, go and sin no more. But we've got problems. And I think that we're fairly aware of the fact that we have, at least I'm aware of my own shortcomings. Verse 9 is the answer to that problem. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I realize that we quote this often, but I don't know if we comprehend the privilege and the awe that needs to accompany that reality. We have the privilege of standing before God clean. He cleanses us from our sin. If you can't remember a whole lot about this morning, it's okay. I would ask you to remember the letters and number 1RA. So 1RA. Some of us are familiar with an organization. They've had a series of good presidents. Ambrose Burnside would have been the organization's initial president. They've had other presidents. I think Charles Cotton is the current director of this nonprofit organization. Charlton Heston, Oliver North had been leaders of it. Are you familiar with the NRA? Yeah, we know that. This is not a sermon about the NRA. This is a sermon about 1RA. You and I are one request away We're just one RA. Just one request away from cleansing, from all unrighteousness. It's not 14 steps. It's not 12 steps. It's not this many dollars in the offering plate, this many prayers, this many times of bowing. It is one request away from cleansing of all your sin. And if we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We have sin. I think we all know it. And it makes us, it should make us humble, maybe a little bit sheepish, to try to come before the Lord and act like we've got it together, because we know we don't. But you are just one request away from his cleansing. I find it important to think about what causes the sin. I remember working with a staff member in Asia when we were with GTO. He had had a series of really good events going on, and then something went really wrong, and he hit it with a really bad attitude. He was pretty embarrassed about his performance in this situation, and he came to me. We had a meeting that week, and he was just in tears about how he had behaved so badly. And I said, "Now, you're wrong. I mean, it was wrong. We need to confess and heal this." But I said, "What else was going on in your life? What else was happening? Why? When? What? How? What else is going on that made you fall apart?" And I think that sometimes we're privileged to be one request away from healing, and so we're just quick. We can be saying, "Well, I'll just apologize and get it over with." I think we do well to examine our life and what causes us to sin. So we'll go on with chapter 2 and talking about that a bit. "My little children," this is verse 1 in chapter 2. "My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And if anyone sins," and we've just established that it's not an if, it tends to be a when anyone sins, "we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous." This word, propitiation, is that a word that you all use often? I don't. I did check it out. It looks like it reached its height of its popularity between 1800 and 1850. That would have been the most use of the word propitiation. I've been on a steady decline since 1850. It's a noun. The plural form is propitiations. Is that helping you? The action of propitiating or appeasing a god, spirit, or person. So it also means atonement, especially that of Jesus Christ. That can be. So I think we're a little more familiar with the word atonement, but that also isn't a word that we use every day. Atonement can mean reparation for wrong or injury. Reparations, I think we hear about more today. There's a lot of groups looking for reparations for things done in the past. Reparation is making amends for a wrong done by paying money or otherwise helping those who have been wronged. Propitiation for our sins is to pay the price, to take the place of. I think we've heard that word, but when you swap in the word reparation, it may sound a little more familiar. This is Jesus Christ is here to fill that gap, that wrong you've done. Moving on to verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. I heard about this in Sunday school this morning. I think it was Ernie, you mentioned it. And if we keep His commandments, we know that we know Him. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. We're invited into a walk of obedience, a walk of fellowship, but it's a walk. Going on with verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Some more references to the journey that this is. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which is this thing true in him, in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. It's old, it's new, it's true. God's light in you produces fellowship, peace, and a blameless walk. Verse 9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Family, Calvary Chapel, I think it's important to acknowledge the journey that we're on. I don't mean to sweep anything under the rug. We're a body, and it's beautiful to come together, but we're hurting, right? There is pain and a reality that our church has been faced with some disagreements. It's part of what we've had in the past months. I don't hear people saying, I hate him, I hate her. We wouldn't say it that strong, would we? But I have heard a lot of love, and I want to commend you on that. I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to continue loving, to hate not, to despise not, to say no evil of others. This is who we've got, right? I mean, look to your left, please. Look to your right. You are sitting beside your dream team. This is who we have. It's not somebody else. Like, this is who you get to walk the journey with. We are invited to love each other and to love each other well. I realize that there's pain involved. And I don't ever want to act like it doesn't hurt to say goodbye, because it does. I mean, I'm hurting too. Sometimes I think that my own naivety has gotten the best of me, thinking that all things can just go on smoothly without ever parting ways. But this is where we are. Let's love each other and love each other well. If you want to turn to the book of 1 Peter, you can. It's just back, to the left, about two pages. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, actually 1 Peter chapter 8 is chapter 3, verse 8. I can't say anything right. It's okay. I'm sorry, y'all. 1 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Hey. We get to walk this in peace. I am not a country music fan. I really am not. It's okay if you are. No judging. But there's a song put out by a man named Johnny Cash that I think is the perfect antithesis of what Sunday morning ought to be. If you want to hear what Sunday morning isn't, just dig out Johnny Cash's Sunday morning song. And it reminds you of how grateful we can be. He talks about there's nothing quite as lonely as the sound Sunday morning. He talks about his pain and his loss and his disconnection. And I thought, sometimes as a school teacher, I like to teach my students what it's not, so you can recognize what is. Johnny Cash doesn't have it all together. This is a privilege, and I thank you for being a part of my Sunday morning. Let's continue to bless and to love each other, to walk blamelessly, to remember that Christ is our forgiveness and our healing, and you are just one RA. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you so much for Calvary Chapel, for who you've brought together. Lord, help us to love each other and to love you as we seek to walk together and to walk blamelessly before you. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.